program. Rob and Scott from Metacarnarama are here now on the program to chat about the festival, which takes place from December 29th to 31st over the New Year's period. The festival is celebrating a third birthday this year and features an even bigger lineup. Kia ora, guys. How are you going?
Fantastic.
Kia ora, really good, thank you. How
nice.
Are you?
Nice, I'm great. Rob, you're in a car. There are so many people who do interviews from cars. Where are you off to? Are you on your work break?
I am, as long as none of my colleagues are listening, I'm just in the car park, just hidden away. It's the life of having to work a part-time job, in my case, to pay the bills and try to fit in fun things like this related to the festival around that. Just have to sneak away.
Nice. You're definitely not the first, you know. Don't worry
about
it.
To know. I would have been a bit upset if you'd said, where the hell are you? Everyone should take this seriously and be in an office or something, so I'm glad.
Yeah, I want to see a professional microphone. I want to see that you've got notes written down. This is ridiculous, Rob.
Well, if Scott had his camera on, he'd probably have something like that set up, I'd say.
Just in my pyjamas is the only difference.
Oh, I wish I could be in my pyjamas. First, tell me a little bit about yourselves and your involvement with Metacarnarama.
Yo, I'll let Scott lead this one.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, quite fittingly, I'm currently staying at home, which happens to be the site of the festival. I've been up here for a few months now, and for those who don't know, my mum was awesome enough to allow this whole thing to take place essentially in my family's backyard. So that's sort of where I'm situated at the moment. And in terms of my involvement, I run our contracts, a lot of licensing, a lot of sort of the more mundane paperwork behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's a pretty harsh way of putting it, but yeah. So I'm Rob, and I do the music curation and a lot of the industry stuff, and I collaborate with a lot of the marketing stuff. Altea leads our marketing. She will be listening on right now very excitedly. And then there's also Mike and Finn are the other two sort of core players in the operation. Mike, lovingly known as Mike GPT, is our spreadsheet and logistics data organized demon, who just, yeah, carries a lot of the foundational budget kind of stuff. He really ensures that we're on track in every sort of core fundamental area and carries a lot of the load for like making sure everything gets done. And Finn is a builder, very helpfully, as a festival where we can actually build some stuff on site permanently due to the location being Scott's family home. So that helps a lot. But yeah, so we're kind of, to give you sort of a little bit more, we essentially started 2 years ago off the back of, like Scott mentioned, his mother, Kay, who is always deserves a shout out. She's one of the most amazing people in the world. So loving, so caring, and cares so much about what we're doing. And to have the privilege of being able to do what we do and essentially throw the rest of our life aside to jump into such an amazing opportunity to make something that we really care about happen. She is essentially the catalyst to it all. So shout out Kay once again. And yeah, off the back of her saying that, we just said, okay, let's throw a party for our mates. So we did a private Instagram page and just invited our friends essentially. And then people would request to join it, and we'd post a little scroll of the request and say, hey, claim your mate if you know them. just required a little bit of a vouch, just saying, yep, they're cool. They're a cool person. They're heaps of fun. They won't cause any trouble. The main reason being, we didn't want to have to pay for security and have to deal with strangers trying to show up. So we just kept it low key.
Yeah, fair
but
enough.
We managed to max out our capacity on that first year at 350, and it was just such an awesome time. So since then, we've just been basically just trying to juggle the rest of life as we try to dive in what turns out is pretty much a full-time operation, learning everything from scratch. We had no experience in the music industry, no experience in the events industry. We all just came from standard types of jobs. We didn't have much experience in any of the music communities that we now sort of participate in. So it was pretty much just off pure circumstance and keenness and commitment that got us going. And it's really wild to hear you saying just before this call started about how people are so enthusiastic and excited about the festival down there because it's so far away. And it's like just wild that we're at a place now where people who we have no idea about are super excited about it, because it's very fresh when it was only people that we knew were coming to it.
Yeah, sick. I love it. It's the most Kiwi story ever. Now, what's the difference in capacity? You said you had 350 that first year. Where are you at now?
Yeah, so the second year was a pretty considerable step up. That was last year. We went up to 1,500 and ended up on the 31st selling like 11 tickets under. So we were pretty much at that capacity as well. Sick. This year is another really material step up where we're up at 2,500 for a max capacity now.
Wow, that's that's big numbers. Is your mum, is she worried about her garden at any point?
No,
you know, anything getting trampled on?
She's just, she's a legend about it. The way she puts it, people always ask her, God, you're so brave. How do you allow this? And quite succinctly, she just said, I just said yes. I just said yes to the boys. I trusted their processes. We did a lot of work in those first years to prove that we're running a respectful event that takes care of the land and takes care of the property we're on. And we've just carried that mantra all the way through. And what it means now is that she can rest assured she knows that we're putting a lot of time and effort into making it as safe as possible, not only for her, but for the people coming as well. And really respecting and looking after this beautiful piece of land we have the pleasure of using for this amazing event.
That's a large part of your guys' kaupapa. For those who are listening that might be kind of tossing up attending this year, what sets this festival apart from other New Year's festivals in Aotearoa?
Oh, you know what? It's I can probably stop myself short of a ramble here and get it done answering that question, but for us, like I sort of mentioned, we weren't participating in much of the music communities in the underground. We were very much, each one of us came from, we went to R&V, we went to Northern Bass, we went to your classic electronic gigs. We went to a lot of gigs and festivals in our time at the sort of university age, and it got delivered an experience that only once you step outside of that do you realize there's actually so much more that music and dance music can offer. Like this, so it's like a spiritual level experience when done right. And stepping overseas, Finn and I went to, just the two of us, to a festival in the UK called Lost Village in 2024, which I massively recommend anyone who's traveling over those ways in August. It happens this coming weekend, actually. A lot of my friends that we made over there are going. But that festival, and then I went to Deck Mantle that year as well, and then we went to some in Australia the year after, and you realize it's so good overseas on a large scale. Like there's big commercially run festivals that do it really well, and it's just a real shame to think that unless you have a link in, or unless you get sort of a clue early on, you don't really get exposed to a lot of these underground festivals. They're underground by nature, right? Like there's stuff that happens in New Zealand that is so cool and like so fulfilling and does it so right, but a lot of people, including all of my peers, our friend group formed in Dunedin. We were students, went to Aquinas. Shout out any Aquinas listeners, probably only a few of you, but our friend group sort of came out of there, and we were so sure we loved to party. We loved all of the interpersonal, emotive, like the stuff that all would really gel in this underground music scene. But we were never exposed to it. We just didn't get the clue that there was really cool stuff you could go to. And so we went to festivals where a lot of the time it was a very scary experience and quite tense, and you get treated like a bit of an ant in a big field, and there wasn't really anything on offer other than it just all fed towards just like getting wasted and feeling worse and forgetting about it and not actually absorbing what's going on around you.
Yeah.
And so those experiences fed into, and we had the opportunity to run it. And through a lot of house parties, which was the genesis of sort of before the festival opportunity came up, we were throwing some pretty ambitious house parties in Auckland. and those parties sort of formed the basis of that culture, which is like dress silly and fugly in a costume. It was always themed. It was always like take the piss. And the people who showed up and stuck around in those communities were people who were really willing to be themselves and really unlocked that side of themselves in that environment. And then we just suddenly had a field and complete freedom and no idea what the norms were and how it should be done. So we just started from the ground up, and we've basically built something through wisdom that we've received, having now participated in a lot of the underground communities, and just bringing in all the best parts of that and trying to offer an experience to people who might not otherwise receive that, and bring in the communities that are already formed and deliver something that really excites them. So kind of blending those two and bringing something that we really stand on, that like the whole idea is what would be an awesome time and an awesome experience and a transformative experience. How can we deliver that? What does the council say we can't do? And then that's our product, basically.
Yeah, I love that. And you're so right that for so many people who, you know, think, oh yeah, it's a rite of passage that I go to these big festivals, and it can be really scary, and you're far away from the home and everyone around you is, you know, on something, and it's a little bit, oh, do I want to be here? Is this the vibe? Things are going around me that I'm not like totally comfortable with. And Matakanarana sounds like it's offering, you know, this is a space that's safe. It's about having a good time. It's about dancing. It's about the joy of being together, not about like how screwed can I get within a short amount of time and listen to Dave Dobbin.
Yeah. Rob touched on it a bit earlier. But,
good call out. Yeah.
What was that, Scott?
I'm back. Rob touched on it a little bit earlier, but that 350 person year, the feeling of community was probably the one thing that people talked about the most coming out of the event, which was really humbling because that's exactly what we were going for. Our sort of modus operandi is creating community through shared experience. And so far, we've managed to maintain that atmosphere despite moving up in capacity. And that's, I would say, the biggest priority for us is creating that sense of community. So like Rob said, you're not just an ant in a big field. You're a part of this family. And I would say that's what sets us apart the most in my eyes.
Nice. Thanks. And we're running out of time a little bit, but let's get some more questions in. About the lineup, who are you most stoked to have on the lineup, or one of the people that you're most stoked to have on the lineup for this year?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a pretty loaded question. as the person who books the music, it's kind of hard to answer that. But there's a few personal connections that stand out the most, and one with particular significance would have to be Mikey, and that's because he's a really close friend and he played the first year. We became close through the first year of the festival. He played an awesome set, and he's just got this unique power to deliver like an emotive like journey in ways that goes beyond the music he plays. And we were denied that opportunity last year through a bit of tomfoolery with other festivals sort of booking with exclusivity and stuff. So this year it's happening again and we've got him in the right slot. So that's like been a long time coming, that one in particular.
Nice. Any for you, Scott?
Ooh, for me, that's so tough. Like Rob says, and to a lesser degree than Rob because he booked it, but it is still like trying to choose a favorite child. But I think it's got to be Doc Jock because New Zealand's drum and bass culture is so prevalent. Like, you can't deny it.
Totally.
And I love that Doc Jock is bringing a different flavor to that history. His sets are so unique and so well-crafted and thought out. And as a little Easter egg to those listening today, we're putting him on a really, really incredible lineup slot, about as good as it gets for a New Year's festival. And I think people are going to be blown away by it.
Sick. Stoked. And last question to end off here. For many festival goers, transport, accommodation, that can be the biggest nightmare of it all. What's the go at Matakanarama for those ones?
Yeah, we're making some big changes this year, predominantly that we've got really well thought out bus passes from all over, you know, Auckland as well as local regions. We recently had some people reaching out via Instagram saying, please add a Snells Beach bus. We're like, okay, done. Now we've got a few Snells Beach buses as well, you know, all the local regions on top of that. And so those bus passes are going to make a big difference. We've also increased our camping area quite a bit, but the great thing is, like with that Snells Beach example, we're a small business, we check all of our Instagram DMs. So if people want something, they can just come and ask for it. And we have the capability to make that change. And, you know, transport and accommodation is one of the things that we can do that for. Oh, I'd be remiss not to mention glamping as well, which is a big change we've made this year. You know, most notably, we've got our 8-person bell tent, which is marketed as a big sleepover with your mates, which is exactly what it'll feel like.
Sick.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for your time, guys. I'm stoked that we have the opportunity to give away our final free ticket to Matakanarama on the program. Do you guys want to do the honor of posing the question? If you remember what the question
please.
Is. Yes, go on, Rob.
Yeah, so this is, well, I won't preface it because I might spoil it. But the question is to you, Dunners listeners, where is Matakanarama held?
Nice and simple, hopefully. The number to text into is 021-272-3461. One more time, Rob, what was the question?
Where is Matakanarama held? What place? A little bit of a trick question.
Beautiful. And the texts, wow, they are rolling in. The phone is absolutely popping off. I'm going to have to put it away so it doesn't vibrate the microphone. Thanks so much, guys. All the rest of the information is at matakanarama.co.nz. Have a great rest of your mornings, guys.
Thank you so much, Lily.
Cheers, thank you, guys. Lily. Thank you, Dunners.
Oh, good. That was Robin Scott from Matakanarama on the 2026 festival. This phone is blowing up right now. I'm going to play a little bit of Flamingo Pier, who are on the lineup, and then I will announce our winner here on Radio 1 91 FM. Keep it locked. Find out if you won.
You can find more of them at i1.co.nz/podcast.